Hello, sports fans, and welcome to Sportsnet 650 Radio. If you haven't been with us all day long, all night long, why? What are you doing if you haven't been with us? Where else you go? It's your one-stop sports shopping network at Sportsnet 650 here in Vancouver. Brooke Ward with you today. It's hump day. It's Wednesday. It's let's see how we get through Wednesday day here at the radio station. Drance, no Drance today, no Dodd. This is Sportsnet today. It's not Canuck Talk. It's not Canuck Central. It's Sportsnet today. They changed the name. Drance and Dodd leave the building. They take the name with them. It's copyright infringement. We cannot use it. It is Sportsnet today. That's what happens when you're Drance and Dodd and you're that high up on the pecking order. You just take your show name with you. That's why if anyone wanted me to have a name of a show, I would like it, you know, pat myself on the back. But you want the Brooke Ward Show. That way no one can take that name from you. Think about that, Drance and Dodd. Like Halford and Brough. It's still the Halford and Brough show when they go away. They still get street cred. Anyway, there's no Drance. There's no Dodd. There's a Ward. And we'll hope it will be a Ward winning couple of hours for you. Already in the inbox. Good afternoon, Brooke from DS. Thanks, DS. Good afternoon. One came in just a couple minutes ago into the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Dunbar Lumber, three stores to serve you. In Ladner and Bridge Street. The Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, which I am suggesting should also have a drive-through because it's called the Express. So they should have a drive-through there. So you could just drive through if you want. You know, sometimes I just need a few screws. You go to the drive-through. Do I really need to go in? Oh, I need 1 2x4. I go to the drive-through. They just pass a hunk of wood out the window. So I'm suggesting just for Dunbar Lumber as we move through and really start cruising past or near the quarter pool of this century, the Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, you might want to consider a drive-through as well. Think about it. Or you go to Arbutus in Vancouver. That is the flagship, the original station, the original place for Dunbar Lumber, the original spot, original location. I'll get it eventually. Check them out too, dunbarlumber.com online. You get a drive-through going. Coming your way from the Kintec studio today. Kintec, you know them. You know them well. Canada's favorite orthotics provider. They are powered by thousands, not hundreds, thousands of five-star Google reviews. Not four-star Google, five-star, thousands of five-star Google reviews. You got sore feet? Who doesn't have sore feet? They may have the answer for you. What are you waiting for? Kintec Orthotics. I like to rewrite the spots as we go along, too. Coming up in the program today, over the next couple of hours, Brad Fay, the pride of Sportsnet, is going to join us. He is actually on vacation in Arizona right now, which will lead me beautifully into what the heck does Gary Bettman have when it comes to the will, the desire to continue to keep the Coyotes in Arizona playing in a tin can that seats 4,000 people. Why? Because Bettman again has said today, to the Canucks in a moment, but Bettman again has said today, no hurry to move out of that situation. Bill Daly says everything's fine in Arizona. I think it's not, nor has it been for a long time. Yet still with teams like the Coyotes around, it, could you imagine playing for them? Like, I'll take the money. You're paying me. But man, how tough it must be for these players in the National Hockey League at home to be playing to buildings and or seating capacity that is lower in many ways, shapes, and forms than teams in junior hockey. Like the Langley Event Center seats more than the arena they're playing in. Of course, nobody shows, but the arena that they're playing in Arizona. But anyway, everything's cool. Keep them coming, love. We're in no hurry, and they're also continuing to put expansion. Moving from the back to the front burner again of the National Hockey League. Whereas you have some dog teams out there. Hello, Arizona. But yet the league is still, they expansion money. I totally get it. It's a money grab. It's expansion money. Don't want to move a team. Rather start a new team. Expansion money. And I get it. But how much is too much? You got 32 teams in the league now. Where do you stop? Can you stop at 32? Do we need 34? Do you keep going? You need 40 teams in the National Hockey League? How watered down does your league need to be when you're going to have four divisions of 10? Of course, they would revamp them. You'd be back to six divisions again, et cetera, et cetera. But where is the stopping point from a credibility standpoint of how big your league is getting. You got 32 teams. That's good. We're good. I'm waiting for them to expand the playoffs. I'm waiting for them to have play-in games for the wild card. It's just the way things have gone. So am I a fan of that? Not necessarily. But okay, whatever. But expanding the league again, I mean, it's ridiculous. Again, where does it stop? People say 32 teams is too many teams. The league gets lost. You start getting 35 or 40 teams in your league, and that's not what they're talking about right now. But, I mean, keep adding two teams. Every 5 years or so, you know, the numbers add up. I think your credibility of your league loses something when you have – you just got way too many teams in there. Anyway, the Canucks, last night, huge 3-2 victory over Buffalo. Outplayed them, outshot them, outscored them, and snuck out the one-goal victory. Buffalo scored with 20 seconds to go. It was a 3-1 game. Could have been worse. The Canucks knew going in as well that they needed a win if they were going to stay in first place in the Western Conference, and that is a win they got. Does that tell you anything about your hockey club? I ask you that, hockey fans. You know before, it's Buffalo that comes into town still, but you know before the game starts, the Jets had already beat the Rangers. Colorado was en route to beating St. Louis, but the Jets game was already in the books by the time the Canucks game started. So the Jets momentarily took over top spot point-wise in the Western Conference, which would have given, at that point, if the playoffs started right then, it would be the Jets and Vegas in the first round of the playoffs. And the Canucks would get Nashville being, they take wild card team number one if you're second in the West but win your division. So that flip-flop for a moment, moments later, hours later anyway, the Canucks beat Buffalo 3-2. The Jets and Colorado both won. They both moved past Vancouver momentarily with 93 points. The Canucks get their win, 94. Do the Canucks even care about that right now, where they finish? Does it mean anything to them? It would to me. You know, I want to win the West. Well, I'm here. I want to win the West. I'm not really looking at who I'm playing in a wild card position because pick your poison. Although Vegas, despite loading up at the deadline, Vegas are doing their best to try and miss the playoffs. Other teams are moving up now towards wild card spot number two. I expect Vegas to get things straightened out. However, it's not a lock they're making the playoffs. And you could say the same thing for the LA Kings too, but the Kings got a win last night as well. So the Kings have moved further ahead of Vegas in the Pacific standings, if not the wild card race. Right now, it's Vancouver with 94 points. Edmonton won again last night. By the way, they keep pace with the... There's a reason if you're the Canucks, you want that win. If for nothing else, keep the Oilers behind you. The Oilers remain within 8 of Vancouver. Beat Montreal 3-2 last night. The OT winner? Draisaitl from guess who? McDavid. There's your OT winner. Edmonton 3-2 over Montreal. Vancouver needed the win to stay 8 up on the Oilers. The Oilers still have 3 games in hand on Vancouver. They play once. The other day, I thought they played 2 more games down the stretch. They just play 1 more time down the stretch, Vancouver and Edmonton. So it's just scoreboard watching 101 is fun at this time of year. It's one of the things I do anyway. And we'll be talking to Brad Fay about all these things that are moving, all the moving parts. Later on in the program, too, Nathan Canter, play-by-play man for the Vancouver Giants. Big weekend for the Giants. Final 2 games of the regular season. Home and home with Kelowna. At home at the LAC on Friday night. In Kelowna Saturday. Giants right now 1 point up on the Rockets, holding down 5th place in the West, which means if you finish basically 4th or 5th, if you can catch Wenatchee somehow, who are in 4th place right now, if you can catch them 2 up on Vancouver with games to play, of course, if you can catch them, you get home ice in the first round. Otherwise, if Vancouver finishes 5th, they'll play Wenatchee, but they avoid the top teams in the West, which are, you want to avoid Portland, you want to avoid Everett, you want to avoid Prince George, because those are the elite teams in the West. Way better odds of getting into the second round if you avoid one of those 3 teams. That's the Giants' job. They need 2 points on the weekend. They need 1 regulation win against Kelowna in the home and home. And that will be the tail of the tape. Kelowna can't catch Vancouver. And you're going to avoid those top 3. Nathan Canter later in the program as well. And in a few minutes, we'll replay Rick Tocchet's post-game comments from last night's game. He liked Pettersson. He liked Garland on that line with Pettersson. to bring energy to the line and to Pettersson. Wherever they plug and play, right now he's plug and play, isn't he? Garland? A guy the Canucks supposedly had shopping himself to be moved earlier this year. If you can find a taker, we need to clear that money. What a season it's been for Garland, and is it a surprise that his bounce-back season comes under the man who paces behind the bench the most for the Vancouver Canucks? He's played for Tocchet before. Tocchet's going to bring the best out of you, especially if you're a grinder. Because when Garland got here, one of the sales pitches when they got Garland, Benning's sales pitches on Garland too, was it's a guy everybody hates to play against. Like, he gave you the idea he was kind of a bit of a thorn in the side of a lot of teams. Always poking the bear with a stick. I haven't seen any of that from Garland. And that was the sales pitch when he came in the OEL deal from Benning. I haven't seen any of that. And frankly, I still haven't, but I see a different Garland this year and a different gear for Garland. Rick Tocchet has said most recently what his team needs to do right now is get more players into fourth gear and fifth gear, Tocchet said. It's the stretch run. Other teams are coming in. Everybody's hungry. It's not November. Everybody's hungry. You have to get yourself out of third gear. And some of the guys are in second gear. But you got to get yourself out of third gear, into fourth and or fifth gear. That's what you have to do in the playoffs. And if I'm looking for players on the Canucks who I expect to step up their game in the playoffs, Garland is one of them. I think the playoffs will be made for him. And he's taken a step this year. Is there another step for Garland? I don't know, but he looks playoff ready. I can't imagine JT Miller has another step in him because he's been at such an elite level. But Miller is a guy, you know, he's drooling to get into the playoffs. Does he have another playoff gear? Bertuzzi way back when, by the way, he had his regular season gear, which was something, but when Bertuzzi would get into the playoffs, then he turned into a madman. I mean, he didn't want to be anywhere around him. I mean, he's accidentally falling on guys in vulnerable positions. He's doing lots of, I mean, he just threw the roof. Trevor Linden used to do the same thing. Regular season would be terrific for Trevor. As soon as the playoffs came, he actually said at the time, I don't know why the playoffs just seem built for me or I'm built for the playoffs. His game elevated in the playoffs. You have to have that or you won't be around the playoffs very much, and you need that from a lot of guys in your hockey team. Who are the guys who can step it up? And some guys we haven't even thought about, frankly, who will step it up in the playoffs to a totally different level. Could Lindholm be one of those guys? I hope so, because he's done squat in the regular season, although he was much better last night. Lindholm last night looked like he was putting more of an effort into it, wasn't waiting for things to happen as much, was moving his skates more, was moving his feet, looked much more interested. Now, it was the Dahlin goal, I think, where he just blew past him, made a great move on Lindholm, mind you, and on Hronek after that, too. So sometimes it's like, sometimes you just get beat. As a goaltender, same thing. Sometimes you just get beat. So although he didn't look great on that play, I'm really not holding it against him. He had one third period turnover that I can remember that I just thought, it didn't look very good. But otherwise, I thought he had a much better game. And when the Canucks get into the playoffs, if Lindholm does not have another gear, Pettersson, frankly, another gear. Besser, I'd like to see another gear out of Besser. Is there a playoff gear for Brock Besser? You know what you get from him. And he stayed, by the way, he stayed healthy all year. This is the first for Brock Besser. There's still games to play, but he has stayed healthy this year. Been a huge thing for Besser as he nears the 40-goal mark. Staying on the ice, staying healthy, you know, probably helps your stats. Does Besser have a playoff gear? I don't know. Does Myers, if I'm going back to defense, you know, Myers might be a guy who just, for whatever reason, steps it up to a new level in the playoffs. Zadorov, I would think, has the capability of doing that. Hughes is Hughes. I don't really see him. How much better can you get? But you're going to need guys to step up, and Lindholm's on that list, and Garland's a guy I expect. Joshua, I'm thinking, could be playoff ready for the Canucks. Not a big team. One of the issues for the Canucks, they don't have a ton of size, a ton of grit. The types of things you do need if you want success in the playoffs. Canucks are a team certainly that are built for the regular season. Are they built for the playoffs? You're about to find out. However, last night, they knew they needed to get a win. Guys stepped up. They stay in first place in the West by 1 point over Winnipeg and Colorado. Both won last night. Edmonton wins. Vancouver stays 8 up on them in the stretch run here. Boy, it's interesting if the Oilers win those 3 games in hand, even a couple of them. Because I thought the Oilers were long gone buried, and 8 points looks like a lot, but the way the Oilers have been going. Nashville got another win last night, by the way. The Preds are now up to 84 points. So they're wildcard team number 1 with 84. In the Central, the Preds would be 4th in the Central and 7 behind 3rd place Dallas. So I think Dallas is gone. The Preds kind of locking themselves into wildcard position number 1. At this point, they'll play the 2nd place team, shall we say, in the West, or the team in the West that wins its division but with a worse record than the other team. And Vegas, 79 points. Nashville's 5 clear of them now. LA moves 2 points ahead of Vegas in the overall standing, so they're there. But here comes Minnesota, by the way. Scoreboard watching 101. The Wild shut out the Ducks 4-0. They passed St. Louis. The Blues were losing last night. And suddenly, Minnesota's within 3 of Vegas of the final wildcard spot in the West. So where'd Minnesota come from? So me, I'm scoreboard watching. Well, I watch the Canucks as well. A couple of games of interest tonight. Toronto and Washington, so the Ovi watch continues. Can he stay on the role he's on? Games the Canucks will keep an eye on. Arizona and Dallas. Dallas needs a win to get back into a tie for first place with Colorado and the Jets in the Central. The Kings and the Wild tonight. Kings and Wild. Minnesota with a chance to move within 1 point of Vegas. How is this possible? How is this humanly possible? Anyway, Brad Fay coming up at 12:30, Nathan Canter at 1:30, head coach Rick Tocchet later on in the program. Elan's here today. Dom S. is here, Mr. Schramati of the Dominic Variety. And Costas in a big chair producing today, too. It takes 3 guys to produce this show. You can tell, there's lots going on. Victor is here Monday, Tuesday. He'd heard enough. Victor's gone. Costas in. Lena's in tomorrow. Elan's heard enough. 2.5 days. Poor Elan.
I'm still with you, Brooke, tomorrow.
Thanks, man. Are you?
I'm still here.
Are you? Oh, it's disappointing. I thought Lena was here tomorrow. Lena is doing work behind the scenes tomorrow, right?
A lot goes on behind the scenes to get you on, Brooke.
Nobody knows. So, yeah, can you if I didn't have all the support, then can you believe how bad the show would be? No Drantz, no Dodd. You got Elan, you got Dom, you got Costa, because Victor couldn't hack it. We'll have Brad Fay and Nathan Canter later in the program, head coach, lots of times for you. We're going to open up phone lines for you, too, later today. We're trying that this week again. When I'm on here, just like to give you that opportunity. In the modern era, nobody phones. It's just Tech City. I guess that's everywhere. Wherever you are, you text. You're in a nightclub, you're not phoning somebody. Are you guys here? It's text. I get it. So the inbox, 650-650, presentation of Dunbar Lumber. An early submission. Garland is a modern-day Cliff Ronning. That ain't bad. That ain't bad. If you're old enough to remember Cliff Ronning, not a bad comparison. Both similar size players, both with big hearts, too. Although Ronning had more offensive upside, certainly, than Garland does. But very interesting, that comparison. Chef Swagger's back. How was my steak last night? Chef yesterday said, you got to salt your meat. Take your meat out of the... If you're doing a steak, because he's a chef, man. I wanted to know. Take your steak out of the refrigerator, get it to room temperature. I do that with all my meat. Like all my meat at room temperature. So I take it out of the... Wherever you're storing your meat, you take it out room temperature by the time you throw it on the grill. And then salt your meat before you put it on the grill. Then you season on the grill, said Chef. By the way, he said, like, just so you know, he said, the average thick steak, if you want medium rare, 4 minutes aside, turn your steak every 2 minutes in opposite direction. You get those grill marks. Depending on the thickness of your steak, you're ready to go. Salt your meat. Thanks, Chef. First up, base, did you salt your meat last night? Well, I said pardon. The Coyotes, an embarrassment for professional sports, says Gary. I don't know if you're in Arizona, but it says Gary, Arizona. Brooke, it's embarrassing that Coyotes play in that so-called barn. I live part-time in Arizona. Guys bring a trailer with the souvenir shop. Yeah, we don't have a souvenir shop. We bring a trailer in. Get your souvenirs. It's a drive-thru. The Canucks do care in the inbox here. The Canucks do care about home ice advantage. So, yes, they want these wins. They want home ice. That's what I'm saying from earlier. The Canucks really caring what goes on over in the Central Division. Concern number one for the Canucks right now is winning the Pacific Division, staying ahead of Edmonton. Win the Pacific Division. Part two of that is, yeah, I'd like to make sure I have home ice if I last that long in the playoffs. So I do care what's going on over in the Central Division. But what I'm saying, is pregame last night, the Canucks are sitting back. Okay, now we know those guys have won. So if we want to stay in first place in the West, we need to win. I'm suggesting, is that a big deal in their clubhouse in mid to late March? I don't think that making sure they stay ahead of on March the 19th or whatever, making sure they stay ahead of the Central, the teams, I don't think that was particularly motivating them. But, you know, they keep an eye on that, and they went and got their win over Buffalo. Brooke, I text Cam 650 last week when I heard you were covering the boys. I don't know where the rest of this is going. I'm reading it cold. This could be good or bad text. It's from a relative, too. No, it's from Corbett. I text Cam Canberra 650 last week. You're covering the boys. Have Moj come on with you. And do you ever talk to Rob Fay, previous voice of the Seas? Great guy. Rob Fay is a great guy. Brad Fay's coming on in a couple minutes. Rob Fay, last I heard, is working at CKNW. I don't listen to a lot of radio, to tell you the truth, but I believe he's hosting a show over at CKNW. This guy just recreates himself a lot. Rob Fay, got to give him credit for that, man. Voice of the Seas for so many years, too, and then decided, well, I'm going to make a change. I think he was in the restaurant business a little bit, too, and then went, I think I'll just go over to CKNW and get a job hosting over there in news. Why wouldn't I? And he was hosting a sports show over there for a while, too, I believe. But anyway, it was somewhere. It might have been on 1040, actually, now that I think about it, in the evenings. But anyway, Rob's gone from play-by-play to hosting sports shows, now to hosting news talk shows, something I could never consider doing. Don't have the brains for it, among other things. And, Moj, I don't know what Moj is. I don't think we can afford Moj. It's probably the issue, more than anything. Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. That is the text line. We'll sneak a break in here. We are heading to Arizona because that's where Brad Fay is vacationing, the pride of Sportsnet, your television host. We'll talk to him about what's shaking down there, some Canuck issues. We're going to sneak a Jay issue and a Leaf issue to you, too. I want to know if the Leafs are being taken seriously back east. They are in Toronto. How about everywhere else? Stay with us. I'm Brooke. Eland is here because he refuses to go away, regardless of the quality of the program, how it's fallen to these depths without Drantz and Dodd here, the level it's at now, the pain, the punishment, because he is a team player. He will not leave me. Now, Victor, he left. Cost is a good guy. He's heard how bad things are. He's heard how the ratings are tumbling. He's heard there are snipers on the way out of the building. It hasn't bothered him at all in this time. He showed up. Of course, he was here 2 hours early before I got here to avoid the snipers, but he showed up and hanging out because nobody can get rid of him. Dominic Schramatti, we have followed each other from coast to coast, from station to station. We're here now, and he must be getting paid overtime because it's 3 days in a row for him, too. Thank you for being here. If I could pay you all, I would. Appreciate it. 650, 650. Text line of the Dunbar Lumber Variety. Hit me up. Brad Fay's next. This is Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to the big show. No Drantz, no Dodd. No Big Whoop. Eland, Costa, Dom, we're all here. I'm Brooke. JanPro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, and whose doesn't, contact JanPro. You get a free, no-obligation quote. Visit janpro.ca. We come to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider. They're providing thousands of five-star Google reviews. Oh, man, good stuff. Five stars. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? I don't know if I forgot anything on that list of things we have to read. Brad Fay is on the list. Baseball. He's in Arizona. There's still some baseball going on down there. Brad Fay, Pride of Sportsnet, with us. Hello, Brad. How are you, sir?
Brooke, how you been, buddy?
I've been fine, man. It's been a while, man. I haven't chatted to you for a long time.
Man. I know it's your favorite time of year, right?
I'm surprised you picked up, frankly. I was very surprised.
Well, not for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I like to have...
It came in out of the sun.
Unknown caller is my favorite thing to do to people because then they pick up. Yeah. If they see it's me, you know the drill. How's it? Where are you? Scottsdale? You Phoenix? Where are you?
I'm in Scottsdale. Yeah, I was in Palm Springs, Palm Desert with the family for March break. Our March break was last week for out in Toronto, so the kids are still in high school. And then I just tagged on a couple of days. My buddy has a beautiful place here in Scottsdale and came over here for a couple of days, two of my old college basketball teammates from almost 40 years ago now. It's crazy.
Awesome. I love it. Love Scottsdale. The Vancouver Canadiens training camp used to be there, so that used to be a fun getaway every year back in the day. There's still so many teams, they're playing in their home stadiums now. What's shaking down there baseball-wise right now?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I just got in yesterday. Scottsdale. I know that opening day is coming. I wouldn't go, given that we have Major League Baseball in Toronto. I don't go out of my way to see spring training, although I do like the vibe of it, but not on this trip.
Me too. By the way, the Dodgers over the Padres 5-2 today to open the season in Korea South.
Nice.
They could have played in North, I understand, but the ballpark was sold out. So Dodgers 5-2 today. Ohtani went 2-for-5 with an RBI. Mookie went 2-for-4 with an RBI. What do you think about a game like South Korea, Vietnam? Let's go to Vietnam. Where, these type of games.
I mean, they picked the right team to go around. It's just like, I guess probably everybody follows the model of what happened with the NBA after the Barcelona Olympics with the Dream Team, how it just exploded worldwide. And, people just don't realize how, like, the Raptors are worth like $1 billion more than the Leafs are. People never want to believe it because the Leafs are one of the flagship franchises in the NHL, but the NBA is just so massive because of the worldwide interest. And maybe that's what, what the sport's doing, baseball, playing games all over the place and just trying to, not like you're going to put a team there. It's just to get interest, get the dollars, get the eyes on it from all over the planet.
Yeah, they do it everywhere. It must pay dividends, but it's just always weird to me that they start so early in order to get a couple of... They want the teams to get back, of course, and get climatized again to North America. But anyway, Dodgers 5-2. They're 1-0. Game 2 out of Seoul, Korea at 3 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow morning. I know you'll be up to watch that.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you won't have gone to bed yet. Come on.
That's right.
Give me a break. Jays open up on the 28th of March. They used to play in April. 28th of March at Tampa's their opener, and they're on a long road trip. I think 10 straight road games to start the season. What? How good can they be this year? Are they a threat? Is it, it's early, but can you tell already?
The road trip is due to the renovations in the stadium that they're doing a little bit each year, which is definitely improving it this year. It's the bottom deck. They're changing all the seats so they face home plate because they had to be, in respect to football before. So now they finally make it more of a baseball park. They've done a good job so far. So that's partly why they're starting on the road. I think there is complete trepidation from the fan base, whereas this time last year, it was all talk of the World Series, and they were loading up. And it wasn't just Toronto fans. I mean, every fan base is a little bit delusional sometimes, but this was, they were getting it from the national media down south that the Jays were a World Series favorite. And basically, they had, the second or third best pitcher from the year before in the American League, and Alec Manoah, if you go by the Cy Young voting, and you have the second or third best player in the American League when it comes to MVP voting with Vlad Guerrero, and they both were pretty bad. And obviously Manoah was completely off the radar, and Guerrero never quite got to that level. So now Manoah dealing with, again, whether he'll ever be back, but I still feel like it's not that Vladdy Guerrero has to carry them, but he has to be as good and he has to be in shape. And I think he's come into camp this year in shape. So I think there's, but I again, trepidation's the word. I know people that are Blue Jays fanatics and they're just kind of almost nervous, like, is this team going to be any good? They didn't do anything in the off season. Joey Votto feels like he's a beauty. It just feels like a more of a PR move, and hopefully he pays some kind of dividends. But that's where I think it is with the Blue Jays. I don't think anybody knows.
Renovating the building, may I recommend one-way glass for all the skyboxes?
Yeah,
why wouldn't you?
That was the hotel, I think.
Yeah, wherever. Just one-way glass, solve your problem. There you go. You can't see it. Okay, thanks. There you go. You can see out. You can't see in. Do whatever you want, man. With men on base. Do whatever you want. Okay. Anyway, the Manoah thing, such an interesting, just a generic question for you, though, but it is amazing how you can have these guys who are studs. Pitchers, it seems to happen to, or maybe you notice more, that all of a sudden they just fall off the map, and I don't know what happens, all the confidence or whatever. And I guess if you're an everyday player, Brad,
you can work through it.
Yeah, so if you're hitting 150, well, okay, well, we'll give you a chance to hit 250. But if you're a pitcher, it just seems like they lose it and sometimes never get it back.
No, and I think what I heard from Manoah, and I do, you know, I do a little bit of baseball filling in with Jamie, so it's fun for me to talk to the analysts, and Joe Siddle and Caleb Joseph, the guys that are so tapped in. And I just said, basically, Manoah, everything came easy to him his entire life. Like, he just was one of those guys that was a star right from the first time he threw a ball in Little League. And every level, he was the best pitcher and the best player going. And then all of a sudden, it just, once it went. And I think also he came in a little bit out of shape from what I hear. He's a big boy anyway. Obviously, you don't want him to be, you know, skinny and trying to do what he did, but it just was that little bit of an edge gone. And then, as you say, I just think mentally, and suddenly, wait a second, this has never happened to me before. He never had to deal with it. And then it just spiraled. I mean, that was weird. No other way to describe it, where it went from a couple bad starts to out of the rotation to out of baseball, basically, by the end of the season. Like, and that's the danger. I mean, he may never, you know, I hope for him that he does, and I'm not saying he won't, but it is one of those things, a possibility you have to face, that he may never get back to the big leagues.
It's crazy to think you could be, whatever, 25 years of just flawless.
Yeah.
And
Cy Young finalist 2 years ago.
All of a sudden,
it's incredible.
Maybe you're overconfident coming into training camp 1 year, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute, and you never get it back. I mean, it's crazy.
Because
that's a lot of wins they expected out of him last year. Didn't happen. That sure changed the playing field a lot.
That's
The Vancouver Canucks, I know you're just dying to get into this, too, and I started you off with baseball, but the Canucks first in the West still right now, 7-1-1 in their last nine, yet there's still a lot of people, I know you'll find this hard to believe, around the lower mainland. who are skeptical and upset at the 7-1-1 record. Are they a rumor still back east? Do people back east know? Like, I'll focus on Toronto. I don't know if you noticed, but they like the Leafs in Toronto, Brad.
Yes.
But have they noticed Vancouver at all?
I think definitely the media has. And, you know, a lot of people they love it as a great story. I mean, as a fan, a lifelong fan growing up, and half the games that they play are, you know, well into the wee hours. If I'm not working, then I'm probably in bed before the third period, but being out east. But I wasn't paying that much attention, and I thought it was a great story early, and I wasn't believing it, just like a lot of people weren't. And then once you get past, you know, when they got past the 40 and 50 game mark and still doing it, it has to be for real, and it's a high-end talent. I think they're probably, if you want to compare them to the Leafs in a way, in terms of what the media and what the people and thing, they probably feel the same way. Is the high-end talent going to translate into the playoffs when it gets the games tighten up and it gets, you know, a little bit tighter check and a little bit rougher with the physical play and everything else? I think there's similarities there, but the biggest difference with the two is as long as Demko's healthy, but the goaltending, the Canucks have arguably the best in the league, and the Leafs have been searching since Eddie Belfour left. They haven't had that guy between the pipes, and it's cost them every single year. I don't think they were going to win Stanley Cup anyway, but every year they have one horrible game in the first round where the goalie loses it, and that's hard to recover from.
I was going to go back to Mike Palmateer, but you Eddie Belfoured me.
Yeah.
So I'll take him. I'll take Eddie Belfour. You go back to Felix Potvin or Jacques Blanc if you want to. Bernie Perrant if you want to. They're going way back.
Well, they had that stretch right after Pop, and then they brought in Joseph, and he had those four or so great years of Pat Quinn, and then Belfour replaced him. All these guys that were kind of at the end of their career but were still elite, and that was the last time they had teams that made any kind of a deep run was with those guys. Yeah. So it's, don't have to have the very best goalie, but you can't have questionable goaltending. We know that.
Interesting. You've kind of touched on this, but as a guy who came, you came out of Kelowna, right? Are you a Vancouver boy via Kelowna?
I'm a Vancouver boy, and then I went worked in newspaper in Kelowna for about 4 years.
Yeah, then you went to what was BCTV, now Global at the time in Vancouver, on television because you're a pretty boy, so they put you on.
That's right.
You're too pretty for print. And then fast track to Sportsnet. We never saw you again, which was probably a good thing for all of us. But anyway.
Yeah, 25 years.
Wow, man. Incredible.
It's crazy. It is.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. And congratulations on that. So I often think of your situation of like, okay, I'm a print guy. And then I just, okay, I'll do TV. And then boom, you were here for about 15 minutes. At BC TV and out the door of the network.
And the great John McKeachy opened the door for me. I was like the pay homage. Like we had played pickup basketball and someone just happened to randomly meet him and he says, you know, he's always a network. You should do what I do. You should, I got to get you down there. So he's
there you go. Well,
he's forever in debt to Big McKeachy.
McKeach knows attractive men and how they'll look on TV. If I know anything else about McKeach, well, you're a fine looking man. You should be on TV. But anyway, that's another old McKeach story for another day, vis-a-vis. But anyway, given that you've come from this market, and I don't want to say it's a sky-falling market, but the pessimistic market because of what Vancouver hockey fans have been through, then you go to Ontario. Isn't it pretty close?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you think at least the Canucks have, you know, I think people are done in Toronto from waving the Stanley Cup banners in anyone's face, given that they were all original six, right? Which is great. They still won them, but it's like since the Canucks came in, there's been those three trips to the finals. So people at least have seen that kind of thing where Toronto hasn't even been to a final. Closest was that game seven with the Gretzky-Gilmore series. So that's now, 31 years ago.
Yeah, you were in Kelowna.
I remember, I remember last year that I heard and I kind of laughed. And again, I'm going to be the one to mock. I want to see the Leafs have a run only because my kids aren't fans of the Leafs. They're more Raptor fans and to a certain extent Blue Jays fans. But there's nothing like a city, you know, when a team makes a deep Stanley Cup run. I mean, it is really fun and there hasn't been one for this generation. So I want to see it, even though I'm not a Leaf fan. But last year I heard a lot of people talking going in and just kind of a conversation around whether it's at work or whether, you know, you're out golfing or sitting on a patio and people going, hey, well, I'll tell you one thing. This is the best team of my lifetime, like they were saying, you know, and then they ended up winning the round and then getting absolutely dusted in the second. So I guess technically it was the best team for some of those people's lifetime as a fan because they actually won a round. But you look at their record, like with the regulation wins is so low. Their high skill set is what they win. So they won more than anybody in the NHL in overtime or the shootout. And both of those things will not be around in the playoffs. Obviously, there'll be overtime, but it's not the 3-on-3 skills competition. And when they can send out Matthews, Marner, and Riley or Nylander or whatever, they have an advantage over almost every team. And that will not be there in the playoffs. So you look at their regulation wins, they'd be well out of the playoffs if they still had ties and things like that. So that, to me, I don't buy it. Marner's the guy that I would move if it doesn't happen this year, if they lose again and they're going to get, you know, Boston or Florida in the first round. It's going to be tough. I think you'd never, you know, Matthews is a once in a generation player. You got to keep him. But I think Marner's the guy you move for a package of three or four useful pieces, whether a couple of them are draft picks and a couple of players. Like, I just think it's time if it doesn't happen this year, because you can't keep going to the wall with those guys with those high salaries. And, you know, and now the Canucks are in the early stages of that. They have a lot to prove, but they haven't had the chance yet with their high-end salary guys. And we'll get an idea if there's a different feel of for them.
Yeah, similar marketplaces, basically, from a fan base.
It's true. It matters so much. And it's like, so it's day-to-day, period-to-period is the reaction, I guess, what you're getting at.
And that's what you get here, too. By the way, 7 overtime wins, by my count, for the Leafs, and 5 shootout wins. So 12 of those 38 wins on the year. 26 have been in a reg. So, hey, pal, I'm keeping you away from the sunshine. I know you got the banana hammock going. You're Speedo, you know, Speedo guy, and you know you're tan. I want you to get back out there. It's just your first day. You got to get out there and get that base down. So I thank you for taking time. You're probably poolside. I'm sure I heard some ice cubes rattling.
Yeah, they will be soon.
Attaboy. Yes. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it, pal. Thanks for picking up.
Good to talk to you.
You're the man. Good friend of mine, Brad Fay, known him forever, Ice Rat. I'm sure I heard the odd beer can open, although he's more of a bottle guy. That could be a mistake. If there's a beer can, it's probably coming from one of the guys producing the show here today when I think about it. It sounded great. Is there any better sound in the world, by the way, than somebody opening up a can of beer? I don't think that other than pouring a bottle of beer into a glass, great sound. But that just the can of beer, it's a different sound. You should actually do that. That'll be your next drinking game, basically, is you can have friends with you and you line up. You got your Coke, you got your Pepsi, you got your Sprite in a can, and then there's your Molson Canadian. Okay, tell me which one's the beer. Close your eyes. If you're wrong, you have to. I'd be wrong a lot. If you're wrong, you have to chug. But otherwise, it's a different sound, isn't it? It's just like, wow. I'm going to hear that sound once or twice tonight, man. Maybe in the next hour. Anyway, there was Brad Fink. Interesting, I just wanted the fan base, basically, here in, you know, in the West, we will mock Leaf fans. I'm sure they mock us, but it's very similar. We're all going through similar pain, despite the Leafs having been around longer, maybe going through more pain since that 67 Stanley Cup. Leafs have had three more years to win a Stanley Cup, basically, than the Canucks have since the Canucks came in the league in 1970. So that means it's a longer drought, although at least, you know, they have Stanley Cups in their history, but their drought is longer than the Canucks' drought. There's not a lot of teams with a longer drought than the Canucks. Buffalo's got a pretty long drought. Came into the league the same year. There's not a lot. These are long droughts, folks. But Toronto's behind us in the drought category when it based on how many years since they won a Stanley Cup. So that feels good. But the fan bases are suffering in both cities, in both provinces. Wherever you are as a Leaf or Canuck fans, it's kind of like, you got to show me. Been through this before. By the way, having great fun with the Canuck season this year, considering where they were. But that said, got to show me. I'm not sold the Canucks could get through the first round. If I had to bet right now, I would still make the same bet I made 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago. Canucks are going to win the Pacific. I'll make that bet right now, even with Edmonton climbing up their rear. I mean, you're coming right at them. Edmonton thinks they are going to catch Vancouver. There's a couple of things. What's in between your ears inside the locker room? And you know what we were just talking with Brad about, Manoah losing confidence, sometimes never get it back. You can overthink things a lot. But what I look at is teams who believe, yes, we will get this done, compared to teams that are going, well, we should, and I hope we will get this done, and we should, compared to teams that are going, no, this is going to happen. We will refuse to lose. Teams late in the game, we will tie this up. The other team, we're just trying to hold on. And, you know, they do, but sometimes they don't. The believers is what you want. So the Canucks are believers right now, and I still believe the Canucks will win the Pacific. I just don't know if I'm going to win that bet now. If you are the Oilers, it's an 8-point bulge. 3 games in hand, mind you, 1 still against the Canucks. But if you want to win the Pacific, it's goal number 1. Win your division. I mean, you want to win your conference, obviously. You want home ice. Goal number 1, win your division. Goal number 2, win the conference. Cross your fingers, go through the playoffs. Goal number 3, win a round. Win a game. Goal number 3. But right now you've got the Canucks. Big win last night. One that was expected. One they should have won. Outshot Buffalo by a 2-1 margin. Beat them 3-2. 3-1 game in the final minute. And 5-1-1 of the last 7 are Vancouver. And it's taken all of that to stay in front of Edmonton. As games sift through the National Hockey League hourglass as we near the end of the regular season. The Canucks believe they can and will win the Pacific. The Oilers really think they're going to win the Pacific. Not going to say it, but you know that's what, holy smokes. When will they play all these games, by the way, the games in hand? I have not done the math on that. But that's the diff. If you get this within 4 points, starts to get interesting because this 8-point, an 8-point lead almost anywhere at this time of year is insurmountable. This doesn't feel insurmountable. And the Canucks, who played well against Buffalo, now can you follow that up when the Canadiens hit town tomorrow night? Love it when the Canadiens come to town, by the way, and the atmosphere. Everyone says the same thing, but the atmosphere in the building and the Habs jerseys and the cheering when both teams score and the heckling and the booing and the go Habs go and the go Canucks go counterpart. That's such a great atmosphere that you do not feel. You hear it, but you don't feel it watching it at home. Another reason when people say, I got the best seat in the house on my couch. Yeah, it's not the same. It's obviously not the same as being there, obviously. you know, I can throw, talking to Chef Swagger, I could throw my steak in a microwave and make it, or I could cook it on a barbecue and salt my meat. Which one would you rather? Well, I mean, see, I'm just sitting in the microwave. It could be ready in 5 minutes. I know, but if you take 12 minutes on the grill, it's going to be way better. I'll take the way better. I'll take a small bag of great cookies rather than a big bag that are cheaper, but you get way many cookies. You just got a whole bag of crummy cookies. I'll take the smaller bag of good cookies any day. Going to the game, that's good cookies. I'm doing okay. I'm dunking the ones at home while I watch on TV. But to be in the building and feel the ambience and the atmosphere and everything else that's going on and enjoying the $20 beers, come on, you can't beat it. By the way, sidebar story, those who complain about the $20 beer, and that's, I think, about what it cost. Now it's at the rink, around $20 for a beer. Better sound good when you open it. You better open it right in front of me. I'm going to want to hear this. It cost me $20. People complain about that, and I get it, but do you have to have beer at a game? If it's $20 for a beer, you know what? I'm not going to have a beer at the game. Do I have to have a beer at the game? Why not have a – am I going to – if I'm going to spend $20 on a beer at a game, I'm going to have five of them, I'm going to spend $100 on beer, I don't have to like the price, but I can't get through the game without a beer. I don't have to spend $20 on a beer. Yeah, it goes away. It's part of the sporting event. I'm going with it. Yeah, but it costs $20. I'm not going to have that beer. I wouldn't go to a nightclub, even though I want a beer. And if they said, by the way, it's $20 and 50 cents a cube, I'm going to, you know, fill my cup up in the washroom, I guess, and drink water all night. What? I don't have to have the lobster. I can have the chicken burger. But anyway, that gets me. I know it's ridiculously overpriced, and it is a total gouge. But you don't have to buy it. You don't have to have the beer, do you? Isn't that a way to solve the problem? In my world. JanPro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, I don't know many that don't, usually. I've not been anywhere where they say, make it as messy as humanly possible. We want it disgusting in here. Of course, I haven't been in the green room with the guys producing the show today in a while for a reason. They should call JanPro. They're the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. Clean up the green room in here, the guy's workroom. Come on, man. You should see that. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro. You get a free, no-obligation quote. You guys listening over there? Elan, you listening? You get a free, no-obligation quote at JanPro. Dom, Costa, free. JanPro.ca. Tockett's post-game coming up next. And then we'll open the phone lines up for you, too. I mean, I threaten. I'm going to do this. Whether you call or not, I'm going to open up every day. But we go in old school. We're going rogue here. Going all rogue, old school. Lines will be open. Your thoughts of anything Tockett has to drop on you. The Lindholm last night, Pettersson showed up. The Canucks still in first place in the West. Vegas is starting to fall out of the pit. Well, they're in the picture, but they're starting to fall. All these things. Oh, and Major League Baseball opening today. I'm sure you were up at 3 a.m. today watching the Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2. Ohtani, 2-for-5 with an RBI. Mookie, the shortstop Mookie Betts, 2-for-4 with an RBI. They're playing in South Korea because North Korea wouldn't let him in. There's a market you want to tap. And game two tomorrow before the teams fly home. The Major League Baseball season has started. The Jays at Tampa, March 28th, the official start of the Blue Jays regular season. Stay with us. More to come in just a moment. I am Brooke Ward. This is Sportsnet 650. Second half kickoff with the wind today. We're taking the wind in the second half. We're giving up the ball. Relying on our defense. Get the ball back. It's a tight game. Up by 3 here at the half. Looking for a first down, too. But we're gonna give them the ball first, assuming they don't fumble it away. We're going to take the ball back. We're going to go downfield. We're going to get a lead, and we're going to build on that because we've got the wind at our back. In the entire second half, we're not playing four quarters here. It's first half, second half. So we were into the wind, still at a three-point lead. After the first half. Second half is nicely underway. I'm Brooke Ward. No Drantz or Dodd today or tomorrow or the next day. unless, of course, management is listening to me today, in which case those guys might be back before this hour is up with the win. Because why wouldn't you? Anyway, they are off this week, and they took Canuck Central with them. Copyright infringement. This is Sportsnet today because I'm barely allowed to say Canuck Central. If I do, I have to say Drantz and Dodd along with Canuck Central, and they consider that a promo. And I've talked to all the lawyers in behind the scenes, and apparently that's legal. And if not, Sportsnet's going to have to pay the fine. Coming up this hour, Nathan Canter to join us at the bottom of the hour. He is the play-by-play voice, of course, of your Vancouver Giants. Big weekend for the Giants down to their final two games, games 67 and 68 of the regular season. A home-and-home with Kelowna, a showdown for fifth, maybe even fourth place in the Western Conference. If Kelowna catches Vancouver, Vancouver will finish sixth. They're going to have to play, in all likelihood, Everett in the first round of the playoffs. And the top three, Prince George, Portland, Everett, they're really good. They're the best. They have pulled away from the pack and then some in the West. You want to avoid that. You want to play the Wenatchee Wild. They're in fourth place right now. If you had, and it doesn't mean Vancouver Giants would beat the Wild in a playoffs either. It just means that pick your poison. I'll take the Wild. In order to do that, make sure that happens, Vancouver needs one regulation win over the Rockets from Kelowna Friday at the LEC or Saturday in Kelowna. If Kelowna beats Vancouver twice, the Giants finish in sixth spot. Giants need one win in reg. We'll talk with Nathan about that too. And Cameron Schmidt, the name you should have heard already if you haven't heard it this week. 30-goal scorer in his 16-year-old season with the Vancouver Giants. And he's on a point-a-game pace. This guy has been incredible and on a tear when it comes to scoring goals right now for the Giants. Been huge. The line of Lipinski, Haliburta, Schmidt has been almost unstoppable in the last couple of weeks. We will talk about, and Brett Myhrvold in goal, now a five-time WHL goaltender of the week. And he's on a roll, been incredible. 20-year-old undrafted goaltender for Vancouver. There's got to be a place for him to play next year. Talk it in just a moment. Canuck Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Why wouldn't you? Be a champion. You want to finish second? Be a champion. You can make it happen. DLEAMC.com. Avenue Machinery, Douglas Lake Equipment. By the way, the hotline brought to you by Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. The first call, the only call you'll have to make. Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and AC. Well, let's drop a little. We're going to open phone lines up for you right after Rick talking. In fact, you could jump on an early one if you want. 604-280-0650. 680-280-0650. I think we had five calls. That felt like a lot on Monday. We had two or three yesterday. Certainly a drop-off from the five. But we'll see what we can sneak in today, too. I just don't want to get shut out. I'm going to come back and do it again tomorrow if I get shut out. But who likes to get shut out? Nobody. And we've not been shut out yet on the show. That record continues to stand through when I was on over Christmas time and back into last summer. This could be the day. But we want you to bulge the twine and break the shutout. 604-280-0650. Canucks last night, 3-2. 3-1 game in the final minute, an empty netter. Made it a 3-2 game. Canucks widely outshot their opponents from Buffalo. Pettersson hit the empty net. I'm going to throw some more stats at you about Pettersson in a couple of minutes. Pettersson had a three-point night. Miller had a two-point night. Miller was playing on the left side wall in the power play as well for the first time in a while. That helped. 1-for-5 on the power play. It's not like they went 3-for-5, but 1-for-5 in the power play was more dangerous. Miller on the left side. Seems like he had said post-game it's good to get back on the left side again. And then went on to other topics. But that tells you, just the quick quote, right? You got to pull stuff out. To me, it's good to get on the left side again means that what the heck have you been having me playing over here for? I should be on the left side. But you do what the coaches tell you. But when you get around to saying it's good to be on the left side again, that means that even you were saying while the power play was struggling, at least to yourself, what do you got me over here for? Get me over to the left side. I don't want to be over here trying to deflect shots, causing traffic in front of the net. Get me over on the left side. And that's what Tocchet and the boys did. Got him on the left side. The power play produces. Miller has a couple more helpers. And after the game, yeah, it was good to get over there again. That's all you need to know. That's where he wants to be and thinks he needs to be. A 1-for-5 power play, they'll take it. The victory to keep Vancouver in first place in the West, too, was a big one. Rick Tocchet, it was 3-2. The Habs are here tomorrow. Here's some post-game from the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks from last night.
We played really well tonight. Thought a lot of guys played very well. You know, like I said yesterday, it was a really good practice, and I think it came into this game, just the way our attitude was with the game. So, I'm really proud of the way the guys played tonight.
What did you think of Pettersson and his line and how they worked together?
Really good. Petey was really engaged. He had a really good game. You know, big goal for us, that second goal, you know, going to the net. And obviously the empty net, you know, the poise to, you know, I know people think it's empty net, but he made the poise to go around the guy and shoot it. So, good effort for Petey.
What do you think of, when you put lines together, what are you looking for to start a game? Like, chemistry can't be instant all the time, but what are you looking for when you assemble a new line?
Well, I just, you know, Hagi and Garza get some energy on that line. I think they were excited to play with each other. You could tell the way they were playing. You know, I thought our forecheck was as good as I've seen in a couple weeks. Really good forecheck tonight. I think those guys led the charge with the forechecking.
And the power play tonight felt like you guys could have had a million chances. Felt like Brock Besser really paid his dues, I guess, around the net and wasn't able to get one tonight. Do you think the power play was moving the puck exactly how you guys wanted tonight?
Yeah, I thought Millsy was really good. He set up about five guys for empty netters. I thought Millsy was excellent. Obviously, Petey getting the big power play goal for us. But I thought Millsy was really good. He set about four guys up. Could have about four goals on the power play. So good for them. That's what we need. It was you could tell it was an attack mode.
Take me through the final 10 minutes. They finally get on the board at 2-1. You hadn't given much up at that point.
Sure.
You know, those are the moments where maybe it hasn't gone as well the last couple of nights, but look like you guys are pretty calm this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we protected the guts. I thought when there was a chance to make a play, even though you're up or even though they scored a goal, I thought guys were still trying to, you know, you want to manage the puck, but I didn't think we were just slapping the puck around. So these are the type of games you want to be in. You know, a desperate team, that's a good hockey team over there, a lot of talent. And I thought we managed the defensive part of the game really well.
What about your PK? You didn't give up a ton, but early on there were a couple, and you didn't seem to give up a lot of grade A's in those moments.
Yeah, I thought the key was that first, you know, right away we get that penalty, you know, and I think, you know, I saw a lot of guys, no big deal. You know, you don't want to take a penalty the first minute or two, but that was a big kill. I think it just got the momentum of all the guys. Some good stuff there.
We saw what is probably the biggest hit of Quinn Hughes' career.
Yeah.
What does it mean when you see a leader like that who is not necessarily someone who plays a physical game doing that kind of, making that kind of hit?
Well, it's a message around the league. Don't go up there with Quinn Hughes. But it's true. You never know. You know, you never know who might hit. Yeah, it was a hell of a hit. That was I think he on the bench. He was actually smiling that he liked it that much.
And just going back to the power play, it seemed like you found some success with it, with players kind of in familiar positions, kind of where they used to be. With the power plays that you're trying in the past, is it just trying to find something different so you don't have to depend on the same look every single time?
Well, it's a system thing, right? When you play certain PKs, you know, Buffalo plays a different PK. They don't play a diamond. So Mills is more effective against traditional PKs, you know, when it's more of an eye. When it's more of a diamond, it's a little harder to play on your forehand. If you look at other teams, same thing. So, but we just got to get better. Like, you know, even on the other look, you know, with the PD Millsy look there, I still think there's value to that with the system, but because of their PK, that's why we went to that look. But it looked damn good, I'll tell you what. Really good.
Casey was saying that he thought that was one of the best defensive efforts he's seen from the guys in front of him tonight. What did you see from the bench in terms of defense?
Well, commitment without the puck. You know, when you hold it, I think there's a long time that I can't remember how long in the game, but there was only 8 shots. I don't always look at the shot clock. You look at the quality of chances, and I didn't think we gave a lot. Casey was, and when we did, you know, obviously Casey had a great game for us. But I thought there was a commitment to the without the puck tonight. That's the way we got to play. Unfortunately, you know, we're built that way. We got to make sure that we play that kind of hockey. We're not a run and gun team. And I think when we play that way, we have a chance to win every night.
There is Rick Tocchet, head coach. Not a run and gun team. If you load up the lotto line again, you become a bit of a run-and-gun team. I don't think we've seen the last of the lotto line. And if the Canucks struggle down the stretch scoring goals, and right now they seem keen on playing low-scoring games as well, which is where he's controlling play without the puck, play without the puck. Even it would appear the Canucks are dumbing it down to the point of going, well, I don't want the lotto. Obviously, they don't want the lotto line together to go, let's win this game 6-5. So they have dumbed it down, thinking defensive play, playoffs are coming up, dumb it down. We can't take as many risks, as many chances. You can win it on the power play, though, if you get that power play going. But the Canucks have kind of changed gears, too. I never considered them a run-and-gun team in the first place, at least under Tocchet. Under Boudreaux, they used to be a run-and-gun team. And that was the only chance they had to win, really, just try and win that 6-5 game. When they dumbed it down under Boudreaux, they lost. Tocchet, coaching standpoint, able to try and control these guys and dumb it down in a more productive way. Interesting. One of the things he said, too, I just never thought about before. Let's just say Miller's out there on PK. I've never really thought of this before, ever. I honestly just keep throwing the same guys out on the PK. If they're doing well, that's my PK guy. He was talking about if they're in an I formation, and I'm trying to recall exactly which one it was, but there was the I formation or the diamond formation, but the general point from Tocchet that I hadn't thought about is if that team is in an I formation of a penalty kill, I might have different personnel out there than if they're in a diamond, because I'm pulling names out of the air now too, but Miller does great against the I formation, but maybe not so much against the diamond. Or you could say that about any of your PK. I didn't even think about that, frankly. Like, that's some coaching. Maybe it's common, but I've never thought about that before. Just like if Miller's my PK guy, let's say Pettersson was too, okay, I want them on the ice all the time as an example. I'm not really paying any attention. Are you in I formation? Or I'm sorry, I'm on power play. But if you've got them out there, if Miller seems to perform better given a certain formation of whatever team I'm playing uses on their penalty kill, and another team comes in, they use a different formation, and Garland's more. All of a sudden, I'm trying to, when you were putting Lindholm up on the power play, unit number one in practice the other day, I'm wondering why. Why am I going to use him there? I got the other guys. And now I'm like, you know, different strokes, different folks. Maybe there's a use for Lindholm on the power play if there's certain PK formations. I never thought about that before. And it's probably common. The coaches out there, the fans out there, right, going, well, of course. But no, I just didn't. You know, I know you manipulate your power play and you make some changes, but I never really thought of, I want certain guys out there on a 5-on-3. I want different guys at a 5-on-3 than a 5-on-4. I want different guys if these guys are pressuring my point man. Okay, maybe I don't want Hronek out there for whatever reason. I want a different guy out there. It depends on their style. I've never been a coach. I was a goaltender. My job, stop puck. Anyway, the number to call, anything leap out at you from what Tocchet said. I'm trying to break the shutout on phone calls today, and so far I'm 0 for 604-280-0650. Never been shut out before. You're welcome to call through on any topic. Anything he had to say in there. In attack mode, Tocchet also said about his Canuck team. We are in attack mode. That's the mode we want to be in. These are the games you want to play. You want to play games against desperate teams. Makes you better for the playoffs. We want to play against desperate teams. Want to play well against them. Want to know what we're going to see down the stretch for a team that does not have playoff experience. Want to see down the stretch. Get a feel for what we're going to get once we get into the playoffs. Whole different thing. If you're playing a team, whoever it is, like Vegas, right? Right now, the Canucks at the playoff start of the day, the Canucks are playing Vegas. You could say what you want about where they are in the standings, but you can also say, boy, Vegas been there before. Won it last year. Tons of playoff experience. Know what it's like. Canucks, not so much. That's huge. You'd be 30 points in front of you in the standings, but you just like won the cup last year, and you might be 30 points behind me, but when we get to the playoffs, I'm kind of like, okay, never been here before. That's a big advantage for a team like Vegas or whoever Vancouver plays. You say Peter, my brother? Peter, buddy, thank you so much. You've broken the shutout. You turned the red light on. Thanks for calling.
Excellent. Glad to break the shutout. I was at the game last night, and like the Canucks played, they played really well. They had so many good looks on the power play. You know, Miller could have easily had like 5 assists in that game. He looked really good. Their passing was so incredibly crisp and like right across the full length of the ice, like stick to stick. They were just playing so well. And like you, somebody said 7-1-1 in their last nine or something.
5-1-1 in their last seven.
Well, whatever, and we're panicking.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck is that? And with 11 goals in seven games against, and we're panicking? I don't think so. I don't know about the playoffs. I don't know whether we're built for playoffs. You know, we don't, like somebody said earlier, we don't have the size for it, I don't think. So,
but
anyways,
it's fun. It's fun climbing towards the playoffs, though, with a winning team.
Oh, it sure is. And, you know, I think we'll go as far as Demko allows us to. I think that's what we have right now is a team that's, you know, going to ride a hot goalie.
Yep.
Everybody's talking about Hellebuck and whoever else, and I just think Demko is the guy. But I'll let you go. And
well, thank you, pal. Thanks,
you,
Peter,
for taking my call.
You turned the red light on. Thanks for calling. Appreciate that. Peter. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's panicking as an example, but I mean, I'm sure some are. So just to use that word, if the Canucks were struggling a little. But 5-1-1 in the last seven. But now all of a sudden things have changed, right? You're first in the Western Conference, so people are now going, now you got to fine-tune, and can you stay first? It's a whole different thing from going, can you get into the playoffs? Can you get near the playoffs? Now you're looking at different things. We're in first place. You've been there all year. Can you stay there? You got to hang on. Wait a minute. I'm seeing warts on the team. First place. Did you fool me? I thought you were all that in a bag of potato chips. Now I'm not so sure you're all that. Wait a minute. And so things change with success. And the bar has been raised. But I'm with you. Hey, given where we've been, it's been a fun regular season to watch the Canucks. I hope they're going to do well in the playoffs. We'll wait and see, but it's been a fun regular season, and there have not been a lot of warts in this team. Did you say Gary to me, Elan? Good thing you're here, buddy. Gary, go ahead. You're next on Sportsnet 650.
Have you got me, Brooke?
Gotcha, buddy.
Brooke, I've been listening to you for years, so we won't go into that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I was talking to your producer about this, and I've noticed that we're missing Dakota Joshua badly. I'm not saying that we're not going to make the playoffs because we're going to make the playoffs, but the playoffs are a different animal compared to that of the regular season. But we played Buffalo. Well, we won 3-2, but Buffalo's Buffalo. They can't get out of their own end without a roadmap. The problem that I see with the Canucks right now, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but the problem with them is that they haven't got, and I'm not talking about size, I'm talking about sheer bulk. If you look at the Canucks, they had the best third line in the league. Well, now they don't, because you take Joshua off the Vancouver Canucks, and unless you, in case you haven't noticed, you haven't got a guy on that team that's over 6'3", that's over 200 pounds. And when you get into the playoffs, that's when you're looking at...
you're going to need bulk. Lotto. You're going to need bulk.
you have bulk. But, and not only that, but the referees throw the whistles away for a bit, and we rely on our power play. I saw the power play last night, and it looked good. And even though we didn't score, it still looked well.
I hear you. By the way, they did, Gary, and I'm tight for time now, buddy. I very much appreciate you calling. The power play, and sorry if I cut you off there. I'm just tight for time now and have a break and some commercials coming up too, buddy. And you made some great points in there. The Joshua, the bulk. And they did score a power play goal, Vancouver did last night, but they do need bulk. It's interesting when you talk about, again, the bar has moved for Vancouver. So if people say, well, we're complaining, well, now people are looking to the playoffs. Okay, you're playoff bound. Now what? Because that's huge. So people are saying, do you have enough bulk? So I don't know if we're complaining. We are now reassessing things, given where the Canucks are in the standings, as the Canucks did all season long, too. I thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Just want to make sure I sneak Amir in ahead of a break as well. Hi, Amir. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So listen, I got a little bit of a different perspective, but it does play off of what Gary was saying in the previous caller. I think we all have to understand that Tockett and this team is playing in a system, and this system has a bunch of people that fill in that sort of checks and balances. And when you lose someone like Joshua, you got to play a different system. When you lose a goaltender like Demko, you got to play a different system. And I'm going to challenge and push back that we have the size. We actually have the size in the right area, which is a place we've lacked forever, which is our blue line, which is why we've got one of the best goal differentials in the league. We've got Zadorov, Soucy, you name it. You know, obviously we've got Dakota Joshua up front. We got a very good combination of size and grit, and we just are a little bit more controlled in terms of our temper. I would love to have a Dustin Byfuglien on our team, but I think actually that NHL is done. And I think you're in a new era where you got to have the right balance. The Canucks have it. This is why we're in first place. We've maintained first place in the West. And, you know, wow, we'll, maybe we'll be up or down, plus or minus an overtime loss to the Colorado Avalanche with our backup goalie in. But no disrespect, obviously, there to Casey. But this team is doing exactly what they need to do. And I think this is just a very I'm not going to say bitter, but I'm going to say it's a very, you know, burn me once and now twice fan base where we've got a recency bias where if we don't win the last two or three games handedly, we're going to forget that we have beaten Vegas. We have beaten Boston, we have beaten Toronto, and I think we've beaten the Avalanche this year. If we haven't, it's been close, it's been in overtime. So I think we've got what it takes, and right now the team is adjusting to a system where they got to kind of pull back and get ready for the playoffs. We're doing everything right.
Amir, thank you, buddy. Good call. Appreciate it. Voice sounds great, too. You should be on radio. Well, you just were, but you know what I mean. The Canucks, you know, the Canucks fan base, yeah, it's a tough room. You know, they've been through a lot, and you touched on it too. It's a tough room. It's a what have you done for me lately room. It's a impress me now room. What do you got today kind of room. So that's kind of where people are coming from who are saying they're skeptical of how they are going to be able to handle themselves in the playoffs. When I talk about bulk and Joshua too, and the game has changed, Amir. You're correct. But when I talk about bulk, I'm not talking about someone having to go like a Byfuglien. I got to go out, who wasn't fighting all the time anyway. He's just a big, huge monster. But bulk is just your key players. Are they physically strong enough to survive four rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs? And that's the bulk thing. On defense, you're right. Zadorov'd me. Zadorov'd me. I just Zadorov'd that player. You Zadorov'd me. You know, there is some size back there. Cole's got some size. Myers has some size, obviously. So there is some size back there. But from a forward standpoint and a Quinn Hughes standpoint, from a bulk standpoint tying into those players, how badly will they get beat up, if at all, in the playoffs? And that's the bulk and size concern. The Canucks forward group. There's some Joshuas out there, but there's also some not Joshuas out there. So if there's going to be a lot of punishment in the playoffs, and there is, it's going to be way more body contact, way more stick work, way more extra shots after the whistles that are let go, all these things, way more cross checks to the lower back to bruise you up. How healthy will Pettersson be through a round or two should the Canucks last? And some of the other forwards on the team. And Hughes, who they're going to key on, and Besser, who they're going to key on. It's guys like Miller, who I expect, no, he'll come through that fine. And Joshua going to come through that fine, and Bluger and some of these guys. But that's where I'm coming from when I talk about size or bulk, is some of their smaller forwards, they could get broken in two in the playoffs, basically. And I hope it doesn't happen. That is the playoff issue for me for the Canucks. Otherwise, as it might have been Gary who said, hey, you got Demko in goal, a healthy Demko in goal. He can be a difference maker all around, but it depends. Teams are going to try and soften up the Canucks' best players. And the Canucks' best players, most of them are guys you can soften up. We'll see if it will happen as they move towards the playoffs. Vancouver Giants are moving towards the playoffs. They are in for sure. Where will they finish? They need one outright victory over Kelowna this weekend at a home-and-home to get at least fifth place and avoid the top three in the West. We're going to talk with Nathan Canter, play-by-play voice of the Giants, in just a moment. Hotline brought to you by Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, by the way. They're the first call. They're the only call. And we're glad you called in as I open up the phone line. Still, folks, if you're scoring at home, I've never been shut out. The streak continues until tomorrow. This is Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Sportsnet 650. Brooke Ward with you. No Drance, no Dud. They took their show and they left for the week. And they left you with me. So if anyone's to blame, you blame those two guys. It's like, come on, what? Look what they left you with. Lord. Like, you left me and then that's what you left behind? Hey, man, I just keep showing up. By the way, check out the Sportsnet website, sportsnet.ca. A terrific story by Eric Francis on Lanny McDonald, who suffered a cardiac arrest not long ago and was basically brought back while he was lying on the floor of the airport after he got off a plane. It's a terrific story. The doctors have told him a couple of nurses were just walking by on their way to a flight somewhere, and down went Lanny, and they went and basically got him going as other emergency personnel were arriving as well to make sure to keep him alive, basically. Because they were saying, I believe it was no pulse and out, and uh-oh, this is a big problem. In fact, part of the story, you got to now maybe you don't have to read the Eric Francis story, but part of the story is, while they were pounding away in his chest when doctors and medical staff did arrive, and they were pounding away in his chest, they broke many of his ribs while they were pounding away so hard to try and bring him back, and Lanny wasn't ready to go, so Lanny came back. Eric Francis. And the doctors had told him he'd just gotten off an airplane. If this happened 5 minutes ago on the plane, you'd be gone. And if you'd gotten out of the building and you were in a cab somewhere, you'd be gone. But you were walking out of the airport, and we were able to save you. Great story by Eric Francis. Sportsnet.ca. Check it out. Vancouver Giants have been a great story this year. Continue to win. Excellent goaltending, quality defense, some snipers, including a 16-year-old who's now 17, but in his 16-year-old rookie campaign, Cameron Schmidt, has got 30 on the year and has been cooking with gas of late. Nathan Kanter is with us, play-by-play voice of your Vancouver Giants. Hello, Nathan, sir.
Hello, hello. I'm glad you mentioned that Lanny McDonald story. I actually hadn't seen that yet, but that was, I did hear about my oh my. Yeah, I got to check that out.
Yeah, well, I'd like to pound you and break a few ribs, but it'd be for different reasons after working close.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
you talk about blame and who's on. Who's to blame for putting me on?
Well, you know, it might be me. You're Nathan, a regular with me on Monday nights when we have the Vancouver Giants This Week program as well. So it was kind of like, well, I can get Nathan on here in prime time. Let's go, baby. So
yeah.
Prime time this weekend for your Vancouver Giants. Nice segue, Brooke. They're taking on Kelowna. What do you think about the Giants as they head into a critical series on the weekend?
Yeah, it is go time. It's awesome, I think, and exciting that the last weekend of their season can determine seeding. Now, of course, the Giants are in. All eight teams in the West have clinched. But, man, it is a complicated playoff scenario situation. I was talking earlier with Steve Ewan from the province and trying to figure out who might play, who. There are so many different scenarios because fourth to eighth place, just 6 points separates them. So the Giants are in fifth, and to dumb it down, hey, I like their chances. They need to win one of two in the home and home with Kelowna this weekend. Just split it, and you will finish in fifth place, and that is key because you will avoid having to face one of the top three teams in the West. There is that separation. Prince George, Portland, Everett, all at 90 or more points. And if the Giants do, again, split this weekend series, they will finish fifth and avoid those top three teams. And they'll be facing a Wenatchee Wild team that I think they have a very good shot at beating in the first round of the playoffs. So I do like their chances when you look at the way they've been playing. Again, they lost, not again, but they did lose this past weekend on Sunday to the Prince George Cougars. You might look at the score and say 6-3. Oh, they weren't very good. They were very good in that game. It was 3-3 going into the third. I think for the most part, they played really, really well. They were coming off two wins earlier in the weekend. So I like the way they've been playing. I like their shot at going 1-1 at least this weekend. However, Kelowna, for whatever reason, does have the Giants number this season. They've won 5 of 6, but still, I like the Giants' chances with the way they've been playing.
If they're tied, what's the format for breaking the tie? Is it outright wins, or is it head-to-head competition? I know, I threw a curveball at you.
Well, that's what I was going through, all these different scenarios. So if we're talking a two-team tie, because here's the thing, there could be a three-way tie, but we'll go to the two-way tie first.
Yeah.
A two-way tie, the first tiebreaker is win.
Okay.
So right now the Giants have one less win than the Wenatchee Wild. They're 2 points back. But if they do, of course, get a win this weekend, they would have the same amount of wins. After wins, it goes to head-to-head. That is also tied. So the third tiebreaker would be goal differential, which at point seemed off. It seemed unattainable. The Giants had a way worse. But just to throw things, even make them even more complicated, there is a scenario in which they could actually be very, very close in the third tiebreaker in goal differential.
Wild
now we're minus, I know, they're minus 13 now. The Giants are minus 20.
Well,
so you'd need a lot of goals. But imagine that if you went three ways.
I'm betting we won't need to do that, and I hope we won't.
I'm betting we won't.
But in general, it's funny too. I'm not even looking at Wenatchee, and I know I should be, because they're two behind Wenatchee in fourth place. If they can catch Wenatchee, pass them, then Vancouver gets home ice. So I get that. But I'm looking at avoiding the top three, which means I need to finish fifth. I'm looking at Kelowna with one less win than Vancouver. So if they split, even if there's 3-point games, if they split this weekend, each team gets a win, Vancouver would get fifth place because they have one more victory.
Correct.
So you can split in any way. In other words, it doesn't need to be a regulation win for Vancouver, but...
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. So even if they're tied in points, so let's say, one of the losses for Kelowna is in overtime and they get the extra point. It doesn't matter because, yes, you would each have one win and the Giants enter the weekend already a win up, which is huge.
Just go ahead and beat Kelowna at home in any way, shape, or form on Friday night, and at least you know the Rockets can't catch you anymore, and you can then take a peek at what the Wild are doing because they have 3 games left. Vancouver's got 2 games left. Kelowna, same story. Let me get you in here to Cameron Schmidt. Go! We got 20 minutes. Go!
Oh, I could talk 20 minutes. Whew. I could go for a lot longer. Cameron Schmidt is... You got to see this kid. You got to see him play. He's, all the adjectives. He's electric. He's incredibly fast. He's incredibly creative. He's
17.
And that's the thing, is you hear 17 and you think draft year, but as you had said, he's in his 16-year-old rookie season. Like, that's the important thing. He is, it's so hard to be as good as he has been and as consistent as he's been. And I will say, in the second half, it was a little tough, his transition to the first half of the season. But it's so hard to be an effective player, let alone how effective he is at the age that he's at. I'm just going to throw a stat at you. You got to see him because he's so quick. He literally brings you to the edge of your seat. And just to tell you how good he has been this season, since January 1st, so that is for Schmidt, it is his last 29 games. He is even strength points for all skaters in the Western Hockey League. So that includes people a year older, 2 years older, 3 years older, 4 years older than him. This is, of course, all the way, everyone in the league. Cameron Schmidt is fourth in the entire Western Hockey League in even strength points since January 1st. He's tied with Gavin McKenna, who's another fabulous, fabulous rookie in this league, who will for sure win Rookie of the Year and is probably... if not the top pick, definitely a top three pick for the 2026 NHL draft because he has a late birthday. But Schmidt, again, is tied for fourth in the entire league in even strength points. He has 33 even strength points in his last 29 games. He's been a goal per game in the last 10. It's extraordinary what he's been able to do. And even when he's not scoring, he's still dazzling with his skill. The way that he scored his record-breaking, broke the Giants franchise record for goals in a single season by a 26-year-old, by a 16-year-old with his 26th goal. He did that a couple of weeks ago, beating a 20-year-old record set by Gilbert Brulé. That goal brought you out of your seat because he just, the way he's able to stick handle through traffic is just phenomenal. Craig Button the other day on Donnie and Dolly, he said, He wouldn't be surprised if he's a top five pick in the 2025 draft. That is very high praise. We'll see, of course, next year in your draft year. That will definitely depend on that's the most important thing, not your draft minus 1 year, but in your draft year. And hey, I could see him scoring for sure 40 next year, maybe even pushing for 50 in his draft year, just like TJ Ginla is doing this year. Incredible player, just such a bright future for him.
Worth the price of admission. 16-year-old season, he turned 17 in January. The seventh player in the last 30 years to hit the 30-goal mark as a 16-year-old. As well. So
yeah.
Way up. He's going to be something. Don't know how long he'll be around. That's a drag when you get some studs, some really stars. You just don't know how long you're going to have him around, too.
Isn't it funny? That you're too good.
Yeah. Like, it's like all you're waiting is to a seventh overall draft pick in the Bantam draft. And it's like, okay, you're hoping they pan out. And you're looking at Schmidt. Yeah. And you're going, well, he's not a big guy, but he's got a lot of skill. Then you watch these guys evolve, and people are saying, by the way, next year might be his last year. I was like, come on, man. Leave these guys for a little more. Help me out. Leave him for more seasoning. But he's been incredible. And before I toss you to the curb here, Brett Myhrvold, goaltender extraordinaire, now a five-time Western Hockey League goaltender of the week.
Goalie of the year, in my opinion. I mean, obviously I'm biased, of course. I see that I have the pleasure of seeing this young man play, almost, he's played so much. I was going to say each and every night. He's the workload that he's had this season, the consistency, considering the quality of shots. The Giants, especially in the first half of the season, let's be honest, they gave up not just quantity, but quality. And he has been there. I go back to it a lot in our conversations for Giants this week. But the goals saved above expectation, I know it's your favorite stat, but it's miles and above better than anyone else. It takes into account the quality that he's facing. He is at 38.1 goals saved above expected.
Goals saved above expected. And another stat. We need more stats. Okay,
goalie stats are important. Basically, the workload that he's had, coupled with the quality of chances that he faces every night, the volume too. The Giants do allow the most shots on goal per game of any team in the Western Hockey League, and he's just there to stop it all the time. I think he deserves the goalie of the year far and away. There are some decent candidates for sure in the Eastern Conference, whether it's Menegan and Lethbridge. I know, you know, the Saskatoon, although they split, both their goalies have been very good. That's one of the top teams. But I do think that this young man will get a pro contract, and I believe that he deserves the Western Hockey League goaltender of the year with how good he has been. He's fourth in save percentage at .914. He's tied second for wins at 29. He's going to become one of just a handful of Giants goaltenders ever to have a 30-win season if he gets a win this weekend. He just needs one. He's at 29. He would be the sixth. He would be tied sixth for the top. The highest wins in a single season, but he would become just the fourth Giants goaltender because Sexsmith did it a few times. But that's the elite company that he's in. If he hits 30 wins this season, it would be incredible. Just I want him to get the recognition that he deserves.
Yeah, he's starting to get it. And when you're five-time player of the week, goaltender of the week in the league, you should be getting it. Mirwell's been terrific, the pride of Saskatoon. Thank you, Nathan. Appreciate it, pal. I get to see you Friday night. Kelowna's here. That'll be a big one, be a big crowd, be a big game, down to the final two before the real fun starts, so I'll see you Friday night.
Yeah, fan appreciation, lots of giveaways going on. Woo! Friday. Should be a good one.
Woo!
Thanks so much, Brooke.
Fan appreciation. Fans have been appreciating the Giants, who on home ice since the new year have suffered just one loss, 12-1-1 in their last 14 at home. That regulation loss came at the hands of Prince George, a 6-3 game on Sunday. And there was an empty netter in there, too. So the first-place Cougars, Vancouver, 3-3 into the third period of that game. Vancouver played them very well, but finally suffered a regulation loss at home for the first time in 2024. Giants are 12-1-1 in the last 14 at home. Have you heard about Jan Pro? One of the fine broadcasters coming up. Jan Pro is coming up next at the top of the hour. No, Jan Pro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, Jan Pro is the way to go. They'll give you a free, no-obligation quote. Free, folks. JanPro.ca, the direction you want to head. Back to the inbox. Texas, the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. We were talking earlier about just the $20 beer at the games, and people will complain about the price at the Canuck games, and I get it. Of course you will, but then there's a way around that. Don't have the beer. There is. You have to? Someone in the inbox. Good job, Brooke. But yes, you need to have a beer at the game. So, again, if you're willing to pay it, that's where on the Aquilini front or where people are going, man, the money grab, the this and that. Yeah, but you don't have to buy it. You can go 3 hours without a beer, can't you? It's just 3 hours. You don't have to have a beer. You might remember the game more. My friends used to go to the game at the Coliseum way, way back in the 80s. Just in the infancy of beer being allowed to be sold at the Canuck games. You were not allowed to drink it in the seats. You had to go behind, basically on ground level where the Zambonis come in at the Canucks, behind the visitor's net. And you were on ground level where there were concession stands down there, and still are, frankly. But you could buy a beer there, but then you had to sit there in a roped-off area and drink your beer under the stands. And I don't even think there's television monitors. This is the 80s. It's not like there was television monitors all over the place anyway. But I am not kidding. I had a couple buddies of mine, Dave Galbraith, you know who you are. They would go to the games. Before the game started, they'd go down, they'd grab a beer, they'd sit down in the area downstairs, did not leave. Stayed there and drank beer for 3 hours, never saw the game, paid for their tickets. That was their outing. And I was just always rolling on the floor thinking, what, you didn't even see the game. Eventually, they allowed you, you know, to take your beer to your seats and whatnot. And I remember as a kid going to a hockey game, if I had ticket, probably much like you today, if you're a season ticket holder, you know you go to every game. But as a person who was not a season ticket holder and would get tickets, either I bought them or someone would give them to you every now and then, I was excited. If I had that ticket, I remember my brother and sister-in-law gave my brother and I tickets to see the Montreal Canadiens in 1972 play the Vancouver Canucks on a Sunday afternoon matinee in the Reds, where we went and thankfully they started Ken Dryden instead of Bunny Larocque, and we got to watch Ken Dryden, stare at Ken Dryden all day long. We waited months for the game. It was a Christmas gift. The game was in March. It was just like the excitement never ended. That's the same way I was as a kid, a week ahead of time if I had tickets to a game. Well, one time we drove to the game. We're in our 16-year-old human season, and we decided to have a few drinks before we go to the game. Why wouldn't we? Well, a couple of drinks as a 16-year-old had me, like, they had to wheel me in a wheelchair. But still, I was so wasted that I can't remember the game. That's the last time I ever drank at a sporting event. Anything at a sporting event. Because when the game ended, and the next day, I was so excited for that all week long, I can't even remember the game. After that, I kind of like to remember the game I'm all excited about. So those who go to games and have the odd beer, but those who are going to spend $200 on beer and watch a game and just be wasted or blowing a dube before you go into the game or drinking their beers outside because you see it all the time, I'm saying I don't want to scramble my brains before I go into a hockey game I just spent $150 on a ticket for. I would like to remember that game. That broke me way, way back with my buddies years ago in our 16-year-old season on Earth from ever drinking at a sporting event again. I kind of want to remember it. However, $20 for a beer at a game, people are willing to pay it. If you're Aquilini and people are willing to pay it, you don't think by selling that beer for $10 you're making more profit at the end of the night? I'll sell twice as many beers at $10. Do I make more profit or yada, yada? Or am I going to sell twice as many? Anyway, some people, $8 for 12 fries, somebody said at the game too. I would live without the fries. I'm going to eat before I go in. Most boring show ever. When are Drance and Dodd going to be back? Most boring show ever in the inbox. That's signed by Thomas Drance. Thomas, you will be back on Monday. Drance and James are Canuck Talk. Sat and Dan are Canuck Central. You can take them, Brooke. That's in the that's in the inbox. My brother might have sent that to me. Apologies, by the way, to those. The inbox is popping for those I can't get to. because some have been in there for a while, and I went, oh, I'm going to jump on that one, and then I just haven't jumped on that one. Get off on other topics. But apologies to those I can't get to. Much appreciation to those who are sending them in, good or bad, frankly. I mean, most of them, thankfully, when I come in, most of it's positive. Most people are polite. Some people, not so much. But I thought there'd be more hate mail. I always think there's going to be more hate mail. Matt, not on the island. BC Place has two places that sell beer for $5 each. Why doesn't Rogers do that? Well, because people are paying $20. You know, I guess it's supply and demand. And Jay in North Delta, if you're stupid enough to pay $150 for a hockey ticket, what's another $20? I don't know. You know, it's $150. I'm not running out shelling out $150 myself for anything. She better be pretty for anything. But it's true. If you're paying $150, then maybe $20 doesn't mean as much to you. Because if I can afford the $150 or the $200, well, what's another $20? Jay in North Delta. And finally, final word, Jeff the Welder. Hey, Brooke, we've had some bad games at home. A beer or three is to forget a bad thing. And a great business model. When I'm at the game, I get one beer as a treat. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, I'm going to have one beer. I'm going to spend that $20. I'm just saying that those who complain about the prices, and I don't blame you, but at the same respect, there's something you can do about it. You don't have to buy that beer. It's 3 hours. You can go buy beer after the game. Have them before, whatever. But I do get that. If you're spending a lot of money and 20 is nothing, oh, okay, it's $20. I get it. I'm not the $20 man. Canuck Talk today brought to you by Avenue Machinery, Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. Brooke, you stink in the inbox. I had to get one more in. You stink. It's plain and simple. Please. When are the other guys back? That's from Jamie Dodd. Trance and Dodd will be back on Monday. The plan is for all of us to be back tomorrow, too. That's the plan. You know, plans could change, though. I could get traded tonight. It's happened before. There could be movement. It's happened before. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. Kipper and Board are coming up next. Costa's here, doing the damage. Elan's here, doing the damage. Dom's hanging around, watching these two guys do the damage. Tomorrow, more to come. Thank you so much for joining us. And Rance and Dodd will be back indeed on Monday. Good or bad, hate mail, good mail. Thank you so much for sending into the text message inbox. Presentation of Dunbar Lumber. Could not do it without you or them. I am Brooke Ward. Back tomorrow at noon. This is Sportsnet 650.